The Lord is good.
All the time.
The Lord is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
The Lord is
good. Dear church, good morning.
Morning.
Good morning and welcome to Newport-on-Tay Church of Scotland and to our service of public worship. The intimations are on the order of service as in your hand. If you have a copy of them, and there are a number of things I would like to draw your notice to. The March edition of our church journal is ready. Please pick up a copy for yourself and possibly for someone you knew or you would like to know about our church. There is a joint cluster service on Palm Sunday, the 29th of March at Wormy Church, beginning not at the time we are used to, but we are calling on all members to join, 10:15 a.m. It's a compromise between the time of worship in Wormit and Balmoreno and the one at CFK and ours too. Today, we are celebrating 20 years of manna, and you are going to find out that the hall where we have our teas and coffees is more beautifully arranged today than it is at other times. So please, I think the time is 2 p.m. 2 p.m. Let us celebrate that milestone. We want to welcome those who are here for the first time or those who are here after a long while. And we want also to welcome our brothers and sisters who are following this service via Zoom and those who will be listening to our worship service from our church's website. Let us take a moment of silence and prepare ourselves for worship. Our first hymn, Let Us Worship God, 739, the church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Let us pray. Sovereign and gracious God, you are the potter and we are the clay. You formed us in love and called us to live in your ways. Yet we confess that we often resist your shaping hands. Too often we turn from your wisdom and follow our own stubborn paths. We have spoken when we should have listened, acted when we should have trusted, and shaped our lives around our own desires rather than your will. Forgive us, Lord. Do not abandon the work of your hands. In your mercy, reshape our lives once more. Soften our hearts where they have grown hard. Mend what has been broken. And form us again into people who reflect your goodness. By your grace, renew us through Jesus Christ, our Lord, that we may walk in your ways and live for your glory. We pray through Christ, who taught us always to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our next theme, Christ triumphant, ever reigning, it's 4-3-6.
Thank you.
Good morning, children. How are you this morning? Good? All good? It's a beautiful weather. Sunshine, not too cold. I think this is the right weather. We should have this all the time. So what did you do this week? How was your week? Any nice things you want to share? Yes, what? Your grade one piano exam. How did you do? Very good. Wonderful. Well done, well done. Good. Anyone else? Yes. On Wednesday, you went to Kirk Hall. Kirk Hall in Dundee for Glee, yes. How was it? Did you perform well? I think you did. Can we also clap for her? So, our children's address this morning, and we begin with a few questions. Now, have you ever tried to clean your room? I don't know, how many of you actually clean your rooms? How many of you clean your rooms? Do you clean your rooms? At least one or two hands are trying to go up, but you are not very sure. Now, let me put it in another way. If you don't clean your room, somebody surely does. Has mom, dad, or maybe your elder sister or brother tried to clean your room, and moments after you found that it looked even more messy than before? Or maybe somebody cleaned your room and someone else came in and disrupted everything and made it even more messy. Maybe it was your dog or your cat. Have you had that experience? Yeah? Yes. Sometimes we may tidy up places, but the places are just... But again, have you tried to speak sometimes and your voice is not coming out? You are really struggling to speak and your voice is not coming out. Have you had that experience? Maybe you have a cold or something and it prevents you not to speak out. There is a story in the Bible, in Luke's gospel, about a man who could not talk. But that story says that there was something in him, an evil spirit, that was causing him not to talk. And Jesus Christ, prayed for him, and that bad spirit went away, so he was able to talk. But there were some people there who did not believe what happened. Maybe they did not like it, but they were shocked, they were surprised that a good thing had happened like that. And Jesus told them that when God is with you, when God's spirit is with you, many good things happen to you. If you are sick, you can pray. God will heal you. Just good things will happen when God's spirit is with you. But the people did not still understand. Now, Jesus explained to them that if once you are transformed, when God has changed your life, when you've come to Christ and you are now a child of God, you are supposed to be doing the things that are good. Not just good things happening to you, but you yourself, you have to be good. And he told them a story or a parable that if something bad leaves your life and you don't fill your life with good things, then more bad things can come back into your life. What he meant was that when God has called us, when we've become God's children, we have to continue to live like that. And what do? We come to church, which is what you do, and which is the reason why we are having children's addresses. You read your Bibles. How many of you have Bibles? I know not all of you can read, so at least those two can read. But you read your Bibles, and when you go to Sunday school, after this you'll be going to Sunday school, what do? You don't jump around. You listen to the teacher. And you learn what they are telling you so that you fill your life with the good things of God. So that those other bad spirits or bad things will not come into your life. Your life will be filled with good things. Let us pray. God, our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks again for this morning. And we thank you for the sunshine and for the good weather. We thank you especially for our children who are able to come to church and to listen to your word and to learn from it. Father, we ask that you continue to fill our lives with good things and bless us in every way. Amen. Our next hymn is At the Name of Jesus. It's 458.
Testament reading is taken from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 18, reading verses 1 to 11. It can be followed on the overhead or found on page 777 of the Pew Bible. At the Potter's House. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter does, declares the Lord? Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. If at any time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down, and destroyed, and if that nation I warned repents of its evil, then I will relent and not inflict on it the disaster I had planned. And if at another time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be built up and planted, and if it obeys evil in my sight and does not obey me, then I will reconsider the good I had intended to do for it. Now, therefore, say to the people of Judah and those living in Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says. Look, I am preparing a disaster for you and devising a plan against you. So turn from your evil ways, each one of you, and reform your ways and your actions. Our gospel reading is taken from St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 11, reading verses 14 to 26, and it can be followed on the overhead or found on page 1043 of the Pew Bible. Jesus and Beelzebub. Jesus was driving out a demon that was mute. When the demon left, the man who had been mute spoke, and the crowd was amazed. But some of them said, by Beelzebub, the prince of demons, he is driving out demons. Others tested him by asking for a sign from heaven. Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, any kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and a house divided against itself will fall. If Satan is divided against himself, how can his kingdom stand? I say this because you claim that I drive out demons by Beelzebub. Now, if I drive out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your followers drive them out? So then, they will be your judges. But if I drive out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come to you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own house, his possessions are safe. But when someone stronger attacks and overpowers him, he takes away the armor in which the man trusted and divides up his spoils. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. When an evil spirit comes out of a man, it goes through arid places seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, I will return to the house I left. When it arrives, it finds the house swept clean and put in order. Then it goes and takes seven other spirits more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there. And the final condition of that man is worse than the first. Amen. And may God add his blessings to these readings from his holy word. And we'll continue our worship by joining in hymn 531, My Jesus, My Saviour.
Let us pray. Holy God, in this season of Lent, quiet our hearts and turn our minds toward you. By your Spirit, help us hear your word with honesty, receive it with humility, and follow where Christ leads. Amen. Good morning to you again. Good morning, church. And warm greetings to the congregation here in Newport-on-Tay. It is always a joy to gather together for worship in this beautiful place overlooking the Tay as we seek God's word and encouragement for our lives. Before we begin our message for today, it is worth noting that today is International Women's Day, a day recognized around the world to celebrate the achievements of women and to reflect on the continuing work of dignity, equality, and justice for women everywhere. It is a day to give thanks for the many women who shape our lives: mothers, grandmothers, sisters, daughters, teachers, leaders, and faithful members of the church who serve quietly and faithfully week after week. Of course, like many special days, people sometimes feel a little unsure about what to do with it. Some women quite enjoy the attention, flowers, appreciation, and kind words. Others might say, well, it's nice, but perhaps we could also have this level of appreciation the other 364 days of the year as well. I once heard someone say that International Women's Day is a bit like Mother's Day. It is a day when people suddenly remember how important women are, and husbands everywhere become unusually helpful around the house for about 24 hours. But humor aside, days like this remind us of something important, the dignity and value that God has placed in every human life. And that thought connects surprisingly well with the theme of our reading today from the New Testament. Because as we journey through Lent, the church invites us to reflect honestly on the state of the world and the state of our own hearts. Lent is not the most cheerful season in the church calendar. No one writes cheerful Lent carols. It is a season for reflection, repentance, and remembering why the cross was necessary in the first place. And when we start thinking about the problem of evil, Scotland actually has quite a history with that subject. Scotland has many wonderful traditions: Presbyterian church governance, good theology, strong tea, and at one point in history, an extraordinary fear of witches. In the 16th and 17th centuries, Scotland became deeply concerned about witches. Thousands of people were accused of witchcraft. Some were imprisoned, some tortured, and some even executed. King James VI himself became so fascinated by the subject that he wrote a book about it called Demonology. Imagine that. The king was writing what was essentially a guide to spotting witches. Today, it feels rather unbelievable if someone in Newport-on-Tay blamed their neighbor for a rainy afternoon because she looked suspiciously at a cloud, we might gently suggest a cup of tea and perhaps a quieter hobby. Modern Western society often goes to the opposite extreme. We tend to talk as if evil hardly exists at all. But in many parts of the world, including parts of Africa, the conversation about spiritual forces and evil is taken very seriously. Some churches focus heavily on exorcism. Tragically, there have even been cases where children were accused of being witches and mistreated because frightened families believed something evil was at work. In fact, a few years ago, there was a troubling case in England where children were abused in an African home by their parents because they believed the children were possessed. So different cultures handle the question of evil in very different ways. Some see it everywhere, others hardly see it at all. But when we open the Gospel of Luke, we discover that people in Jesus' time also believed their world was caught in a struggle between good and evil. Our passage in Luke begins with what looks like a simple healing. A man who cannot speak is set free when Jesus casts out a demon. When the demon leaves, the man begins to speak, and the crowd is amazed. But not everyone is impressed. Some accuse Jesus of casting out demons by the power of Beelzebul, the prince of demons. Others demand another sign from heaven. Jesus responds with a very simple argument: a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. If Satan were casting out his own demons, his kingdom would collapse. Then Jesus Christ makes a remarkable statement: if it is by the finger of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. In other words, something bigger is happening here. This is not just one man being healed. This is a sign that God's reign is breaking into the world. To explain it, Jesus tells a short parable. A strong man guards his house. As long as he is armed, his possessions are safe. But when someone stronger comes and overpowers him, everything changes. The meaning here is clear. The strong man represents the power of evil that has held the world captive. But Jesus is the stronger one. His ministry marks the moment when God's kingdom begins reclaiming what has been lost. For people living in first century Palestine, this message mattered deeply. They lived under Roman occupation. Their society was politically tense and economically strained. Many believed dark spiritual forces were also at work in the world. So when Jesus cast out demons, people saw it as a sign that God was acting. But what does this mean for us today? Because when we look around the world, evil still seems very present. We see it in wars, violence, injustice, and suffering. We see ordinary people caught in conflicts they never chose. When people face this reality, they often respond in two ways. Some say evil is just an illusion that can be explained away by social systems or misunderstandings. Others conclude that evil is everywhere and nothing will ever change. The Christian faith takes a different view. C.S. Lewis once explained that evil is not something God created as a thing in itself. Instead, evil is the corruption of something that was originally good. He compared it to rust on metal. Rust does not exist on its own. It damages something that was meant to be strong. Lewis even described evil as a parasite. It survives by twisting what was originally good. You can see this all around us. Love for one's country is good, but it can become destructive nationalism. The desire for justice is good, but it can turn into revenge. Leadership and authority are meant to protect people, yet they can become tools of domination. Evil often begins when something good is bent out of shape. Let me offer a simple picture. If you have ever seen a mirror that has cracked, you will know what happens. The mirror still reflects light, but the image becomes distorted. Human beings were created to reflect the goodness of God, but something in us has cracked, and the reflection has become distorted. That is exactly why Lent exists. Lent reminds us that the problem of evil is not only out there in the world, it is also in here, in the human heart. C.S. Lewis once wrote that the real front line of the battle between heaven and hell runs through every human soul. It happens in our words, in our attitudes, in how we treat our neighbors, whether we spread fear or peace. That is why Jesus ends this passage with a challenging statement: whoever is not with me is against me. And whoever does not gather with me scatters. Jesus is not asking us to fix the whole world, but he's asking us to decide which kingdom we belong to. Do our lives contribute to scattering or gathering? Do our actions deepen division or do they reflect the reconciling work of Christ? And this is where the hope of Lent comes in. Because Lent does not end with reflection alone, it leads us toward the cross and the resurrection. Luke tells us that a stronger one has come. Jesus does not simply analyze evil, he confronts it. Every demon cast out, every person restored, every life transformed was a sign that the kingdom of God has arrived. and that kingdom has not stopped advancing. Even today, in places torn by conflict, there are Christians caring for the wounded, feeding the hungry, welcoming the stranger, and praying for peace. Often the kingdom of God moves forward quietly through ordinary people who choose to live in the light of Christ. That is why the words of 1 John still give us hope. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. The world may feel chaotic, but the stronger one has come. Christ still gathers what evil tries to scatter. Christ still heals what evil tries to destroy. Christ still restores what evil tries to corrupt. And when we open our lives to him, we become part of that work. So even in a broken world, we live with hope. Because when the stronger one comes, darkness does not get a final word. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you that you are the stronger one who has come into our broken world. When darkness seems powerful and evil appears stronger, remind us that your kingdom is greater. Help us to choose the way of your kingdom, to gather rather than scatter, to heal rather than wound, and to bring peace rather than division. Shape our hearts in this season of Lent so that our lives may reflect your light, and send us from this place as people of hope, trusting that your grace is still at work in the world. For we pray in your name. Amen. Our next hymn is 515, Soldiers of Christ Arise. Please be seated. Let us pray. Let us dedicate the offering. Gracious and generous God, all that we have comes from you. Every good gift, every blessing, every opportunity to serve is a sign of your grace in our lives. Today we bring these offerings before you with grateful hearts. Receive them, we pray, not only as gifts of money, but as signs of our desire to belong to your kingdom. We offer these gifts and our lives to you through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us continue to pray. Let us intercede. Almighty and compassionate God, you are the Lord of history and the ruler of all nations. In a world that often feels divided and uncertain, we remember that your kingdom is stronger than the powers of darkness. We pray for our troubled world. We bring before you the escalating conflict in the Middle East. We pray for the people of Iran, Israel, Palestine, and the many nations affected by the growing tensions and violence. Lord, have mercy on those whose lives are caught in the middle of political decisions and military actions. Comfort the families who have lost loved ones. Protect the innocent who fear for their safety each day. Grant wisdom and restraint to leaders whose decisions affect the lives of millions. And as this conflict sends waves of uncertainty through the global economy and affects nations far beyond the region, including our own country, we pray for those struggling with rising costs, financial insecurity, and economic pressure. Lord, bring your peace where human power has failed. We pray for our own nation. We bring before you the recent policies of the UK Home Office that has restricted some countries, including Cameroonian students, from entering the United Kingdom for studies. We pray for those whose hopes, plans, and futures have been suddenly disrupted. Lord, give wisdom to those who shape immigration and education policies. Grant fairness, compassion, and justice in decisions that affect the lives of many. And for those of us from Cameroon living here, strengthen our hearts in times of uncertainty. Help us to trust in your guidance and to continue contributing faithfully to the communities where you have placed us. We pray for your church. Bless the Church of Scotland, its ministers, elders, and congregations. Renew its witness and strengthen its mission in this land. We pray also for the worldwide church, especially for Christians living in places of persecution, conflict, and hardship. Give your people courage to stand for truth, compassion to serve those in need, and unity in the body of Christ. We pray for our own congregation, for our homes and families. Bless our households with peace. Strengthen relationships that are strained. Bring patience where there is frustration, forgiveness where there is hurt, and love where there is distance. We remember before you those who are sick, those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. Grant healing to the ill, comfort to the anxious, and strength to those undergoing treatment or living with long-term illness. We pray for those who are nearing the end of their earthly journey. Surround them with your presence and give them the peace of Christ. We pray for those who mourn the loss of loved ones. In their grief, remind them that death does not have the final word because Christ has conquered the grave. We also remember those who have recently passed on to glory. We thank you for their lives, their witness, and their faith. May the promise of the resurrection bring comfort to all who loved them. Gracious God, in this season of Lent, remind us again that the stronger one has come. When the world feels uncertain and evil seems powerful, help us to remember that Christ still gathers what evil tries to scatter. Make us instruments of your peace. Make us bearers of your hope. and keep us faithful until the day when your kingdom is fully revealed. We bring all these prayers to you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. A final hymn, Jesus Shall Reign Where'er the Sun, it's 470. Go in peace and serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God, who knows the thoughts and the desires of every heart, guide and strengthen and fill you with all spiritual blessings and grace, that you may daily rejoice and be ready to give an account of your faith in the world. Amen.